Welcome to the Independent Schools Show podcast series. Please enjoy and head to schoolsshow.co.uk for more information.
Well, I'm delighted to be joined part two of this part of the show by William Petty, who's the Managing Director of Bonus McFarlane. Now, you might have heard Tom Rogerson earlier referring quite frequently to Bonus McFarlane, how brilliant
totally
you are.
Unpaid. I just want to make that clear.
He's earned his commission, but tell us about Bonus McFarlane, what you do, sure. Your role and your experience of helping hundreds of families make the right choice of school for their children.
Thanks. So Bonus McFarlane is a sort of full-service educational consultancy. We have a long-standing tuition business, which is one of the best established of the modern era. And then our consulting wing, which deals with advice around independent schooling and helping parents enact everything they need to do and following them through the whole process of school selection, visiting, etc. And indeed, at the top end, taking care of everything for them and making sure they find that right school. And my role there is also at the show, which is one of our sister companies. So, we listen to the schools particularly, as opposed to perhaps other consultants who don't have that sort of dichotomy to play with. And therefore, I spend a lot of time talking to parents and thinking about the big questions like you were discussing with these two about what to do and reducing the stress. Hopefully, our role is to reduce the stress right down to the minimum and help people realise that when they do make their final decision, it's for the right reasons, for the best reasons, and they've got all the information to do that with.
You've been doing this a long time, haven't you?
A while.
You've picked up quite a lot. Let's focus initially on London day schools, independent day schools, both prep and senior. Is it the competitive nightmare that parents are led to believe, or once the smoke clears, is there more of a sort of easier landscape to navigate?
I think it's difficult. It's difficult to convince anybody that London isn't extremely competitive in the day market, because the numbers just speak for themselves, and you've heard quite a bit from two people that we'll know very well. The problem I find with the London day is just the lack of schools full stop, the numbers of them. There just aren't very many private schools for 11 and up at the senior school end. That's number one. And yes, the truth is that they are historically pretty competitive because they're in a city. They can't flex their muscle across the co-curricular to the same degree as a boarding school in the middle of nowhere can, with all that space that comes with it, or even a country day school that can do the same. So they have, in the last sort of couple of hundred years, veered massively towards academic success as the kind of key differentiator between themselves. And so that's what you find a lot of. So if you don't fit that mould, you're going to find it pretty wanting in the London market, is the sad truth of it. And therefore, the competition's extremely high. There aren't that many places. There are a lot of people interested. And so, yes, it is quite terrifying. And so it's difficult to deny that, I'm afraid.
Blimey. Well, I wasn't. You didn't soft soak that one, did you?
Well, I don't run a school, so that's probably the slight difference in tone from...
We had one parent ask earlier. In fact, he was so stressed by the question he's actually left, which is how do you reduce the stress of, let's pretend we're still in London parent mode, of this kind of battlefield?
So I think the first...
For you and your child.
Yeah, I think the first thing is, which has been mentioned in the first half, which was, be organised. Don't wait till the last minute and do speak to your current school, no matter whether it's independent or a primary state. But, start the conversations early. They may not want to have them with you as early as you might, but that's number one. Make sure you're involving them. I think one of the things we've seen in London, from my point of view, which I'm not keen on, is a lot of parents suddenly thinking now's a good time not to listen to their prep school head. And I don't really know when that happened. And you do see people applying to schools that simply shouldn't be on the list because pressure has got so great that prospective parents, sadly affected by that, just don't really believe you and feel the need to spread all this, all these registrations and these 10 schools was mentioned earlier. That's not uncommon.
That is very interesting.
I wouldn't let anyone who was with us do that in a million years. But parents on their own, panicking about what's going on, yeah, I'm afraid that's inevitable that that would happen. It used to be, you know, you'd either apply to Westminster or St Paul's or Harrow or Eton, and now, actually, you're seeing people apply to the lot.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, I was going to ask about kind of backup plans. Is that parents trying to put in place a plan B by applying to everything?
Well, I think that's what they think. But if you're right. doing that in the London day school market, there are very few plan B schools. They're all pretty tough to get into academically. So, you know, you see a lot of lists that don't actually have a plan B.
Hmm.
The first thing I would say is the choice of schools, don't go crazy. Think about what you want. And if it's a senior school, what your child wants. They should be, unless you really don't like them, they should be involved in the conversation a little bit when they start getting to the age of 10, 11. If they're going for 13, really, they should be involved all the time.
They can send in questions to their parents. Yeah.
Pardon?
They can send in questions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, it's thinking about having a strategic list. So you don't have what I would call 5 first-choice schools.
Right. I see what you
mean. Preferably, you've got 1, maybe 2.
Yeah.
Then you have a core... Yeah. of 2 to 3, where on any given Sunday, the little blighter is going to be okay, even without sort of loads of tuition.
Yeah.
And then maybe you have somewhere which is more of a, you know, still what somewhere you really want to go, still an outstanding school, but just with a much more relaxed approach to academic demand on entry. And therefore, what you might call, somewhat unfairly, your backup.
Okay. Well, let's move away from London day schools. Talk about boarding schools. Is there a boarding school child, or is that the wrong way of looking at it?
With great respect, I think that's not the wrong way. I just think it's no longer the way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was very much, I remember I went to boarding school, I was fully day in London till I was 13, and then fully boarding, also in London, till I was 18. You know, then it was, you know, you were either bored or you're not. And I remember my housemaster saying to other new boys as they arrived, saying to the parents, you know, love is me, but maybe not. But it was a very different entity in 1995. It was aggressive, it was all male, all that sort of stuff. Now, very few schools are like that. The pastoral side has had a real input. And actually, I don't think there is, you know, a boarding child anymore.
Right, okay.
I think that the schools have got so brilliant at the pastoral side of things, it's become, you know, it's not even, when I remember starting out in my career, you know, you had to convince people that was the case.
Yeah.
And now it doesn't even really get spoken about because it's just assumed, which is wonderful. It's exactly where things should be in terms of welfare and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But there are still children who really will probably never suit it. And that's, you know, not an educational professional's thing. That's probably more for the parents to have a proper think about that. The upsides of the day options, of the boarding options, obviously, you know, it's the outdoors is the big one. And that's the one... You know, if your child is thriving in those areas, you know, they're going to be very underwhelmed in London.
And I think even though... I mean, do you think technology, to put it crudely, is now a factor in parents' thinking? Because, you know, if your kid is at a day school and coming home and sitting on their phone, it's quite hard to wrestle it off them. Whereas if you know if they're at boarding school, they're unlikely to get hold of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think... I used to say to parents, you know, I used to sort of scare them with looking at the boarding, you don't know what your kid's doing on the way home in London. And, you know, at a certain age, there could be all sorts of interesting things that might not be that beneficial for them.
Yeah.
But yes, if they're in London as well, they've got this added issue of all the tech at home, all the things with backlights on them, and having, a 5-year battle with essentially a young adult about, like, not using stuff that you're using in front of them. You know, it's just...
I didn't realise you were living in my kitchen. Okay. once you decide, say, boarding or outside London, you've got the reverse problem to what you were talking about for a London parent, which is almost a limitless choice in some respects, because you could,
Absolutely.
In theory, move. How on earth do you start to sift through that?
So I would start with the silly things. Like, you know, the logistics, which got nothing really to do with your son or daughter. It's just to do with you.
Well, I think that's perfectly...
Well, you're the limousine driver as a parent, right? So you need to know where you're driving the jalopy. So that for me, you know, it might seem the wrong way around, but actually, because there are so many options, that will really just bring you some focus straight away.
Yeah.
And focus is the hard thing to get when you're looking at such a large market. So it's what's really important to our single co-ed, full boarding, weekly... flexi, all those kind of things, distance from London, if you're not living here all the time or you travel a lot as a parent or both of you do, then distance to airports might be very important. You know, if you're heading really far from London, alternative airports, for instance, you know, no point flying to London necessarily if you're going to school in Northamptonshire.
Yeah.
So those kind of things do help. And then within that group, you're looking at character. And there is, I think these chaps were both, touching on it, there's a fit. I think parents, particularly with boarding schools, don't realise just how much importance the boarding school places on the return fit. They know they've got lots to offer. They know that they've got hundreds of years of history and tradition, fantastic facilities, great teachers, you know, years and years of success behind them.
Yeah.
They don't know anything about your little darling. And they want to feel during the admissions process that said darling's going to give it their all at any level, doesn't matter what level it's at. Mm-hmm. It's more just the effort and the willingness to participate and to give back. And if for some kids, you know, to make enough of a mark that, you know, they'll leave something behind them when they graduate and move on to university.
Yeah.
So it's thinking about that fit. It's thinking not just what are we getting from the school, but, you know, where is my son or daughter going to invest their pretty precious time? As a boarding student, you're very, very busy. Mm. So where are they going to spend it? Is it the robotics lab? Is it the sports field?
Yeah.
And then you're starting to think, right, so now I know the amount of land that my son needs to run around in the numbers of sports play, that's really important to him.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at schools with a great tradition of sport. Mm-hmm. And then with them, and finding kind of keystones like that.
Yeah, I was going to ask sort of that kind of question, which you're sort of beginning to answer, but just to kind of make it explicit, because I asked earlier the sort of silly question about is there a boarding school child, but there are different types of boarding schools. There are ones that are much more academically focused, even though they might be in great pastoral fields, and others that do tend to focus more on this kind of sporting side. How do you kind of navigate that?
Yeah, so it's actually harder to find out about than you'd think.
Oh, really?
And I think certainly on websites, because schools have got so much to talk about, and
yes,
you know, none of us spend any time on websites anymore. It's a quick flash, get what you need, ring the number or send an email, isn't it? So why would they put everything up? No one's actually probably going to sit through it. So it's very much about being in touch with the schools. You know, it's a terrible thing to have to say because of COVID, but hopefully we're coming to the end of it. But, you know, you've got to go and see them. Perhaps don't take your children straight away. You don't want your son or daughter falling in love with a boarding school that you despise and then have to spend 2 years telling them they're not going.
Yeah.
So, you know, do a bit of a recce maybe. Maybe the recce's just digital and then you take a group of that and you physically go and see them. But start early and get your eye in.
Yes, because you've got to get in there. That's a really good point. You should physically visit these places.
Yeah. And
you can't, you know, do it online.
The vast majority, these... you know, St Paul's, for instance, in the day school world.
But they have open days, yeah.
They start assessments begin in year six. If you haven't registered by the end of year five, it's game over. So, you know, if you were engaging my services, I would try and, if you're early enough, I would try and have all the visiting done by the end of year five. So when the kids are starting their assessments in year six, even they have a sense of what they're aiming for. And also you need them to play ball. And if they've seen something that they like, they're going to be motivated to work harder for it.
I want to ask a couple more questions, but I also want to, if anyone in the audience wants to ask a question, think of one and ponder it, because I will ask you if you want to ask one. But is there a prejudice against a day school in the country? Are they regarded as second-class schools to the boarding school?
I sincerely hope not. Certainly not by anyone I know of in this building from a professional point of view. Wherever the day school is, you know, we're lucky. We're at a period of a halcyon era for private education in this country. You know, just a walk around the room outside just proves that instantly. So many of them in such amazing form. My knowledge of the country day schools is not brilliant, because they are very locally sourced. You know, they fill up from, and if they don't have any boarding at all, it's fully domestic. So, whereas in London, you know, there are, you know, it's much more cosmopolitan because it's a whacking great city, but there are lots of kids living with grandparents and stuff and, you know, that kind of thing. So,
I think that's a very good point, that it's basically the country day school may have that unfair reputation, because actually the country day school is serving a very local population who you're not necessarily going to bump into at your
Well, some of the leading country day schools, some of the leading day schools in the country are in the country, if you like.
Yeah.
But there are not very many of them, and most non-London day schools are in other major cities, in other major towns or cities.
Right.
And it's very unusual to find a fully rural school that doesn't have an element of boarding to it.
Yeah.
Boarding might be something they've added on rather than being a boarding school and bringing in day, but...
Okay, so I want to ask you as well, and it's partly influenced by COVID, which I imagine has driven this as a trend. What, in terms of your vast experience looking over quite a few years, the parents who say, I want to send my child to a school out of London, but I want it to be a day school, so we're going to uproot the whole family. We're moving to Oxford to send our kid to an Oxford school, or we're moving somewhere else, A and other. Does that experience tend to work out? Have you had horror stories, or do they tend to be, yep, it was the right thing to do, they all moved when the kids were 10 or 11, they relocated the family, and it all worked perfectly?
So, I mean, I think the thing with parents is, you know, if it comes to decisions you've made about your kids, psychologically, you just make it work and you make sure it was the right decision because you can't really face the embarrassment of telling your mates that you totally stuffed it. And you're now in the middle of nowhere. You can't come back and the kids are probably going to be worse off for it 20 years from now. It's highly unlikely, but...
Or you write a large article for the Sunday Times about it.
So, you know, it's... I don't hear it going wrong, but at the same time... The British families who were doing that started there. Mum and dad, or at least one of them, probably both, grew up in the countryside.
So grandparents are nearby, that kind of...
Yeah, and they've, you know, I'm getting to the age where my friends from university have just started to head out.
Yeah.
You know, having set up their careers, sorted that. COVID's helped.
Yeah.
Because now, obviously, we all live in a world which is much more accepting of working conditions, being extremely flexible, if not non-existent, i.e. you can do it at home or wherever home is.
Yeah.
And also that's what they're looking for, and they're previously invested in it because it's what they experienced perhaps themselves. And so you don't hear horror stories, but it doesn't mean there aren't some.
That's very, very interesting. Brilliant. Look, I would love it if anyone wanted to ask one final question or two if they felt bold or brave enough to do so. But I think because obviously William has been so brilliant and comprehensive in his answers that it looks like you've answered all the questions, but obviously you are around.
I'm around.
For the rest of the conference, so you can be buttonholed in a corner and ask the question that might be on somebody's lips, but they don't want to ask just yet. But thank you so much.
Not at all. Thank you.
It is a fascinating role that you have, and you must touch so many lives in what has to be one of the most important decisions any parent will ever take. So what a fantastic job to have.
Thanks so much. Cheers.
Take care.
We hope you enjoyed that episode. Thanks for listening, and please head to schoolsshow.co.uk to check out our other recordings.